And today we want to start a series in looking at Acts, the book of Acts and chapter 8. And we want to look at chapter 8, 9, and 10. Three chapters. I love this book. I don't know how much I've preached out of it. Probably not enough. This is actually called the Acts of the Apostles. And and I got several pages of notes to get through today, so we'll be here till about 1, or else I will not do all 5 pages. Praise the Lord. The book of Acts in chapter 8, 9, and 10. This says page 4 of 12, and I haven't typed in chapter 9 and 10 yet, as far as my outline and notes go. I've hand scribbled them out. And what a tremendous thing here in the I'm not even in Acts, I'm in John here. What a tremendous thing as we have the Acts of the Apostles. So today I want to at least get an introduction done and then look at the beginning of this tremendous chapter in the book of Acts in chapter 8. And so let's go ahead and look there. And let's just go look at the first 4 verses of Acts chapter 8. It'll kind of give us a sense for where we're going as we look again at the Acts of the Apostles. Just 3 chapters to cover. It is again about the saints going out into the world to preach the gospel to every creature. So we'll be revisiting that theme several times here. We'll try to get through some of this first chapter here today. The book of Acts in chapter 8, I love God's word. God wrote it again. Some people say Luke wrote this, but no, God wrote it through the apostle Luke is how that worked. And so I appreciate again that God gives us the Acts of the Apostles beginning after the resurrection. So we have, 40 days? Anybody know what day Ascension Day is? What would that be, like 3 weeks after Easter? 3 times 7 is 21. No, 40 days. 6 weeks after Easter, 6 times 7 is 42, is that right? So that's too many. So it's less than 6 weeks and more than 5 weeks, and it's on a Thursday. I do know that. So Ascension Day is coming. If you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected body appearing to the disciples and was here for 40 days after his resurrection. The Catholics got all that backwards. They do, 40 days of Lent before the crucifixion, which is all fiction. We look here at the 40 days. So we're going to be walking through those 40 days. Keep that in mind again. It just kind of gives us a little historical value of the next month and a half. But here we're looking at the Acts after his ascension, the Acts of the Apostles. Look with me in Acts chapter 8 and look at me the first 4 verses here. The Bible says this, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Let me pause right there and step back into chapter 7. Figure out who his is. That's Stephen, the apostle. So they chose out deacons, 7 deacons in chapter 6. And Stephen, one of the deacons, flat out preached. When he did preach the gospel, boy, the Jews flat out got angry. So here we find that they stoned Stephen to death in chapter 7, the whole chapter there, 60 verses of chapter 7 is the death of Stephen. It'll fit into my chronology here that we're going to look at, the Jews first received the gospel, but then it went on to the Jews and then to all Judea and then to Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth is kind of what we're going to theme in looking at these three chapters. And so this was the death of Stephen in chapter 7, and then chapter 8 says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to the burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Look at verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They went everywhere preaching the word. Father, praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we could be students of it. Thank you that you'd move on our hearts as we'd study things here of the Acts of the Apostles and outreach of the gospel. And we'll praise you again and thank you, Father, that we could be part of that outreach. Each one of us individually and Good Samaritan Baptist Church as a corporate body of yours. Father, help us that we could again be about your business. And we'll give you all the praise now. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen, amen. I'm still on page 4 of my notes. And so let me back up to page 2. And let's back all the way back to the beginning of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. And we want to look at verse 8 particularly. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Notice again that we went from just now, if you've ever dabbled with dyslexia, we went from Acts 8:1 to Acts 1:8 again. And so I like to look at those two relationships and call this the dyslexic challenge again, from Acts 1:8 to Acts 8:1. And see the significance. Let's look at that real quickly first up. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says this, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. We went to Samaria for a little bit this morning in Sunday school. And we'll revisit that here. And to Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. Let me read that again. And you watch what I add, and make sure you don't add these, okay? You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and then in all Judea, and then in Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth. You see the addition there that don't belong there. This is not a sequential, do this first, then do this, then do that, then do the other thing. I've often heard it taught that way, but it's not there at all. And so this is something, the commission that we're given is to go to preach the gospel to every creature. 5 times a commission is given to us, and we could rehearse them here in just a moment. But again, understand, here's this Acts 1:8. And they had gone to Jerusalem and been at Jerusalem. Remember, they built a church here and said, hey, let's just all have all things common. And they were building what we'd call a commune there, and all living together and worshiping together and having a great time at Jerusalem. But that isn't what God said to do. God said to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And here the commission, notice it one more time, and we'll emphasize this over the next few weeks, witnesses me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. It's curious to me too that both shows up. And we'll look at the reason why it says both. That implies two. It does indeed imply, as Paul stated clearly, that it was to preach the Gospels to the Jews and the Gentiles. To the Jews and the Greeks, the both, need the Gospel. And we're going to look a little bit as we get into chapter 8 at where that leaves the Samaritans. Are they Jews or are they Gentiles? Well, we'll answer that question, I hope, as we look in more detail here. So look back at chapter 8 and verse 1 now, and notice again that the Bible says there was a scattering abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, and again, that was caused by persecution. Acts 1:8, they're told to go out and to reach all of these people, and they didn't. They stopped at Jerusalem, built a big church there, and they were having a great time. And the thousands got saved and were added to the church. Even of the priests got saved and added to the church. So they're having great success. But God said to go out, and they didn't. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, we find that there's a great persecution that shows up and drives them out. And they go, again, just as God said, out into Judea, all of Judea, notice it says, and it goes to Samaria, and then we won't get to chapter 10 before it goes into the uttermost part of the earth. And so this Acts chapter 8, 9, and 10 is a crucial part of this commission to go and preach the gospel to every creature. I got several notes here. I got way more notes than I'm going to preach. And so let's go back and introduce you to an evangelist, Harold Boyd. Y'all remember Harold Boyd? Well, no, y'all don't. But some of you do again. Oh, Harold Boyd preached for us for years. And I got more education when Harold Boyd came to town. And I spent 5 days with him here. Man, that was an education. That was a learning time for me. Now it's that way with it was with Brother Mike too. Brother was mentioned at the funeral of Brother Mike that he loved coming to Good Samaritan Baptist Church. It was on the top of his list of place to go because he was so familiar with everybody here and just was right at home here. But it was the same thing. He and I'd get together and we'd hash things out and work on things. Gerald Fielder's the next one. He's coming in September. And he and I, again, are having a competition who can write more books. And so he's winning right now. And as far as selling books, he's certainly winning. But these men, again, teach us a lot of things. I forgot where I was going here. But Harold Boyd, he taught on the book of Acts several times. He'd take a whole week and talk on the book of Acts. And here's what he has. I still have the outline written in the beginning of my book of Acts. I think I transferred it into even my new Bible. On the first page of Acts, it's a good place to write that down and keep it again in your Bible. If you have a propensity for writing in your Bible, this is a good outline to put there. In the book of Acts, here's what it's all about. The Savior went up. The Spirit came down. The saints went out. And the sinner came in. And so that's a good outline of the book. That's what happens in the Acts of the Apostles. The Savior went up, chapter 1. The Spirit came down, chapter 2. The saints went out, chapter 3 chapter 2 to the end of the chapter, end of the book. And the sinners came in, and we're going to get to one of them in chapter 8, I think it's verse 8, that says, and there was great joy because the sinners came in. And so, again, there's the theme that we want to look at. We're stuck on the third point, that the saints went out. And so we're going to spend some time looking at the saints going out. Brother Boyd also said, ain't hardly nobody got saved that ain't been went after. You should write that down in the beginning of your Bible, too. Let me repeat that. That's good English. Ain't hardly nobody got saved that ain't been went after. And I remember he said that every service for about a week while he was here one year. Ain't hardly nobody got saved that ain't been went after. There's lots more things we could say about this introduction to the book of Acts, but that captures enough for what we want to look at. And again, we're theming up here with the Savior went up, the Spirit came down, and we're going to hang right here where the saints went out. And then finally, the sinners came in. The Savior went up. John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Listen, the Savior went out because he was finished here. He'd done his perfect work. And he went out in order to, it says in John 5, "I seek not mine own will, but the will of my Father, which has sent me." In chapter 6, "For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." In chapter 8, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know me, that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. And as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." So he was finished, it says in Hebrews 1:3, "When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high," and he went up to be our high priest. Hebrews chapter 7 explains that high priest position of our Lord Jesus Christ, a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so again, as we understand that the going up of the Savior in these 40 days that we're walking through in our calendar right now, boy, it'd be good. I try to encourage folks to read when we come to the week of his Passion, coming up on Passover Sunday. Start right there and read everything that happened in his triumphal entry. And then on the next 4 days again of that, read everything that he did and try to fit in all of that he did in 4 days. It's a tough fit, but it all fits in there. Some Baptists try to fit it into 3 days and make the crucifixion on Wednesday, but it don't fit at all. And so 4 days before from Passover, or from Palm Sunday, just read all the events that he did. And then we have 3 days when he was in the tomb, that Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and reading that again, everything that he did on the cross. And if you just camp there for 3 days, I'll tell you what, you come on Easter Sunday, you come ready to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I talked to you a little bit about preparing our hearts for worship. And so here for these next 40 days, it'd probably be good to study then, continuing on in that vein, and study the 40 days afterwards, at least get all of his appearances in as described. And so it comes up to the 40th day, and he risen up, Acts chapter 1. The Spirit came down, and the Spirit didn't come down in Acts chapter 2 for tongues. It's not so that man would have tongues. Spirit came down so that man would have a comforter. That's what Jesus called him. I wrote a whole section on pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And I said, when the Lord Jesus Christ gives you an introduction to the Holy Spirit, any other introduction's not too much worthwhile looking at. And so he gives a tremendous introduction to the coming of the Holy Spirit. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away," Jesus said. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come." A lot of people, modernists, they don't like the word comforter. They say, that shouldn't be comforter. They should have transliterated there what he was and tried, instead of making comforter fit the word. But if you look at comforter all through the Old Testament, where they needed a comforter or didn't have one, or if they got a comforter because the Spirit came, all through the Old Testament, he was called a comforter. And so the King James translators, they did what God said to do and called him a comforter. Now, notice a comforter. When I see, what do you think of when you hear the word a comforter? A what? A great big snuggly blanket is what a comforter is. And so he provides comfort. But look here, it's given to extend that word into all the thing that he does in Jesus' introduction. The comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. If we was preaching on the Comforter today, I could spend another hour on that. But we're looking at, again, the Spirit came down, Acts chapter 2. And now we're on our focus, and that is the saints went out. The heart of Acts chapter 8, 9, and 10. The Samaritans in chapter 8, Saul in chapter 9, and the Gentiles in chapter 10 is the saints going out with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The go, if you take the go out of gospel, all you get is a spell. Well, that was deep. Did you catch that? Gospel. And so there's a go in it. And so the saints went out. And then lastly, the sinners came in. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Chapter 4 and verse 4, that's chapter 2. Chapter 4 of Acts says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. And so again, we see that the sinners came in. And there's even more accounts again as we touch into the Gentiles coming in for the gospel. I got a whole section here that I'll not preach, but again, that I do want us cognizant of, that it said in Acts 1:8, notice that it says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come. And so they were told to go, and they went to the upper room, and to wait until that came. There's a lot of people that take that, Pentecostals, let's call them, okay, Church of Christ, Church of God, Church of anything, again, is usually tied with the Pentecostals. We love our brothers, but they're following the Spirit and not following the Word, and so that's a major difference between them and us. As if it's Bible, we hold pretty tenaciously to it, where they don't care too much if it's in the Bible or not. If the Spirit tells them to do something, they follow the Spirit over top of the Word of God. Big distinction. But notice here again, they're all hung up on this tongue thing, and they're hung up on waiting for the Spirit. So they taught that Jesus said here that, hey, you got to go wait for the Spirit of God. And listen, these did. But once the Spirit came, there's no more waiting. When you get saved, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God moves into your soul. And how long does that take? Okay, that's a day of salvation. It's like a new birth. How long does that take? Well, let's skip over that part right now. Some of them can be pretty challenging. Ladies do comparisons. Whenever they get together about how long they were in labor from childbirth. And guys, when they get together, they talk about their last heart surgery. And so we go through those things. But notice again here that a new birth is in a moment. That, hey, we come and we're a new creature at that moment. And so this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we don't wait for that now. It comes at salvation. And we could go ahead and give all the defense of the verses. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Some people want for separate fillings of the Holy Ghost. And so We'll skip over all of that and jump right to Acts chapter 8, where the saints went out. The fourth persecution, Saul is the chief persecutor, and so they went out. And so let's pick it up in chapter 8. Wow, I finally got to my text, and we're almost quitting time. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea, all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm not going to take the time here, but I will reference all the commissions that were given. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. John chapter 20, then said Jesus to them, again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. And so we're commissioned, and then Acts chapter 1 and 8. That's five times, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and now the book of Acts. We're given a great commission to preach the gospel all over the world. And then look with me at verse 4 again. Schofield called this verse 4, the first missionaries. I like that. Therefore they went out. We had a missionary in Friday or Wednesday, and we had that challenge that all of us are to be that. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. I think I got 5 minutes. Let's go ahead and cover the next couple verses as well. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And so let's pause for a minute here and figure out two things. Who's Philip, and who are these Samaritans? And notice again that when we're looking at Philip, he is one of the disciples. This is not the apostle Philip. Remember, all the apostles, they stayed in Jerusalem. And so again, when it says they went out, the apostles stayed behind. And here's Philip out on the mission field again. And so Philip is, again, one of the 12. If you turn back to Acts chapter 6, you find out there's Philip. Sure enough, he was one of the 12. Stephen got stoned again, but Philip and the other five, they went around and continued as deacons, and they continued preaching the word to every creature after the commission that was given. Then Philip, so that's the Philip. And boy, there's lots of things we could learn about Philip. Paul later connected with Philip and stayed several days with him. I forgot the name of the town, and I didn't highlight it in my notes. And so here he was, and he went down to the city of Samaria. Philip also had, I think it said, like four virgin daughters, again, that preached the gospel. So surrendered to be ministers again, and went about preaching the gospel. Philip was all about preaching the gospel to every creature, and we'll see that illustrated here the more in this chapter. And so here he takes off now, doesn't know any better, and he goes to the Samaritans. And you got to stop and say, who are these city of the Samaritans? Went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Remember, a guy named Jesus went to the, in John chapter 4, said, I must needs go through Samaria. And he went there and he talked to a woman at a well there. And when you read through that account, you find again that these Samaritans, they believed John chapter 4, verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with him. And he abode there at the well, this is, and he abode there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. John chapter 4 gives that. And so notice again that the gospel through the Lord Jesus Christ did not come to the Gentiles. Jesus didn't come to preach the kingdom's coming to the Gentiles. He came to preach that to the Jews. And notice again when he had Gentiles come unto him, here he had the Samaritans and he preached to them. So they were an acceptable lot. Now who are the Samaritans? The Samaritans, as was mentioned in Sunday school here, is when the Assyrians come and took over. They took all the 10 northern tribes that they're often called and scattered them throughout all the kingdoms of Assyria. And then he brought in peoples to populate the land and live there. And those were half outsiders. Jesus called the straight in our parable today, or no, in the reading of the healing of the lepers today. The one that came back was a Samaritan. And what did Jesus call him? Nobody's come back to accept this stranger, it called him. And so they were not Jews per se, but they were not Gentiles. We mentioned in Sunday school, I often see this overlooked, is the fact that the Samaritan that came back to him wouldn't have been allowed in the temple under the priesthood there. And so notice again that these Samaritans are not Jews, but they lived in the Jewish promised land. And they were interbred with the Jews, and so they were kind of a half-breed lot. And they're halfway between, and they're not treated as Gentiles. Jesus had a Syrophoenician woman, but Jesus said unto her, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, the Bible says, in Mark 7, verse 26. And Jesus said, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet or appropriate to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Remember, he said that to her. And of course, her response broke his heart, and he did what she bid him. But she was a Gentile. She was a Canaanite, it says in the Matthew account. He was from the town, a Greek from the Syrophoenician nation, she says. And so Jesus wasn't allowed to come to her, didn't come to her, and he said so out loud. Then look also in the Gospel of John. We just went through this resurrection account in John chapter 12. And there were certain Greeks among them came up to worship at the feast. John 12, 21. The same came to Philip. Now that Philip was the Apostle Philip. Different Philip than what we're looking at here. Came to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee. And so they were probably from his hometown, but they were Gentiles. They were Greeks that came up. And they said, hey, they came even to worship at the feast of the Passover. And they desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip, the apostle, came and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verse 32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. That includes the Gentile, but not yet. And so notice here, when we get to chapter 10, which we're headed for, that the Gentiles are going to be included in this gospel outreach. But here, the Samaritans receive the gospel. And so that's important. It's a distinction that I haven't seen emphasized nearly enough. Then Philip, verse 5, went and down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And also, someplace in the back of their mind is what Jesus did with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Here we are again 3 years later. 3 years isn't very long for some of our corporate memories to work. And so notice here again, a lot of them were probably believers then that believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but now he's the resurrected Lord. And he comes hearing, they come hearing the gospel, and notice again what it says, that there's many of them, the people with one accord gave heed. Boy, don't you wish people would do that today again. And so here they had great success in Samaria. Look at verse 7. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And so notice here again that there's a great reception of the gospel. And there's great miracles done in Samaria. And here's Philip, we don't know very much about. But I'll tell you what, he was one of those seven that was chosen because they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God in Acts chapter 6. And now he's out preaching to the Samaritans of all people. And there's a great revival going on. And they're receiving Christ in Samaria. And then look at verse 8. And there was great joy in the city. And there was great joy in that city. You know what happens when people receive the Lord Jesus Christ? There's great joy. I sat down this week and ran through all the salvations where I was there to see people saved. And it's been a while. And it's last year we had Neil come for salvation. And then we had Dave and Tamara call upon the Lord, but they're stuck in some discipleship mode here where they need, again, to grow. And, again, lots of times we have to wait and see what happens again, and sometimes that's the case in this old world. But, again, understand this, that, boy, when a person gets saved, there's rejoicing in heaven. And not only so, but it causes great joy here in the whole city. The whole city of Samaria had great joy when they received this gospel message. And so notice again the great joy. And the people with great, or with one accord, I love that, received the gospel. And there was great joy in that city. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Listen, when the joy of the Lord enters into the heart of a loved one, a neighbor, someone that we see someone get saved here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, listen, that brings great joy. We don't see it nearly as much as we used to. Again, that's lacking joy. So sometimes we got to rejoice. Anyway, rejoice evermore is a command. But again, understand here, I don't want to go on too far down that theme, but look at this one here. There was great joy in that city. Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. This is coming up in the book of Acts, Acts 13:52. Acts 15, verse 3. And being brought on the way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria again. There they are, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. People that get saved cause great joy in our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, "And ye became followers of us, and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, because of salvations there." Philippians chapter 2 says, "I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. for those that got saved at Philippi. Philemon, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because of the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. That's talking about Philemon that got saved. Esther, of all places, 8:16. I don't know if you've read. Why did we read the book of Esther? Was that on our reading schedule? Was that on our reading schedule, or was that on our reading schedule? I think we read Ruth. Did we read Ruth in our...
We just...
So we did Ruth. Yeah. We didn't do Esther. Esther's on our other... We have a reading schedule that's 6 months offset from this one, so we don't do the same verses twice in a day. But wow, Esther again. That's worth a read again, just to look at that. I call several of our politicians Agagites again, because again of their hatred for the Jewish people and their want to annihilate them all. And so notice here again that Esther again, when they had the salvation and saw the salvation of God to the Jews of that city, of that nation, of that Babylonian captivity, they had joy, it says. The Jews had joy and gladness. And they left the nation. We just read 1 Samuel, he's making Saul the king, and we read chapter 11, where the men of Jabesh-Gilead said, okay, we're calling for the rest of Judaism to come down and save us. If they can't, we'll come out, and you can gouge out our right eye with a spoon. Take a spoon and just gouge out all the right eyes of Jabesh-Gilead. Well, you study the men of Jabesh-Gilead, you learn a few things about them. But they had a king just now, and his very first act that he did was to come down save the men of Jabesh-Gilead. And boy, they were always dedicated to King Saul after that. But again, the men of Jabesh-Gilead, it says when they got the message that Saul was going to come down and save them, that they were glad. And I thought, wow, that's an understatement again. So they were glad, okay? Listen, when you get salvation, you get glad. When you see someone else get salvation, you get glad. I got about 10 more verses down through here that I'll not repeat. But again, with salvation comes gladness, comes joy. Comes a joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know what Good Samaritan needs this year again? We need to see somebody get saved. We need to see salvation. We need to, again, to have a joy of salvation reverberate through this church. Because, again, we need to see somebody saved. And let me read Harold Boyd's statement one more time. I think it was on page 2 that I lost. I put it in here about 4 times. Brother Boyd said, ain't hardly nobody got saved that ain't been wet after. There's a sign in the back of our room. I don't have good eyes, but I think I can read it from here. They will not be converted without prayer. They will not be converted without prayer. They will not be converted without somebody going. And so notice here we have an emphasis here on the first missionary that went out to Samaria of all places. And we're going to take a couple more lessons out of Acts chapter 8 dealing with the Samaritans that came to him. And there's much that we can learn there from Philip and his outreach into Samaria. But listen, you and I need to have an outreach into all the world. I praise the Lord for our mission outreach. We need to have an outreach here in Yates County, in Dresden, that we could again be soul winners and that we could see someone come to the Lord this year. Put them on your prayer list. Let's ask that Good Samaritan Baptist Church might see someone saved. I feel bad saying this year. I'd say every month. 12 salvations would fill us with some joy around here. We need to see God moving in our midst. We need to see the hand of God. I got a statement. There's a song that I heard sung, "Give Me Souls Lest I Die." I didn't so much like that song, mostly because, listen, we've survived around here for sometimes a year or two without seeing anybody saved. And certainly we ought to be conscious and aware that we've got a responsibility to preach the gospel to every creature. But listen, this world's not as receptive as it used to be. And again, there's a great rebellion against God and against the gospel. And Satan has a stronghold on Yates County like I've not seen in any place else we've ever been in the military, bouncing all over the world. And so notice again here that we need to see God move. God can, even if we say we can't. And it's a sorry soul that can at least spread some seed around, even if we don't see any results. But again, even a hole in your seed sack can spread some seed around again. So let's make sure that we're about the Father's business. We don't have 12 anymore, I don't believe. Again, 12 active members at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. I think probably we could see some souls saved if we'd be about the Father's business, and that we would again labor in prayer for souls to be saved right here in Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Ain't hardly nobody got saved that ain't been went after. Think of someone that you could be a went after for. Father, praise you. I thank you for Philip here, who went down to Samaria because he got pushed out of Jerusalem. Father, there he saw a great revival starting up. Father, saw the Samaritans, even as your son did, there at the well, where he stayed 2 days longer, just again, to secure believers that he was a Messiah. Now again, that they can secure that he rose from the dead and see souls saved in Samaria of all places. I pray, Father, again, that you'd help us in Yates County of all places. Father, that you'd help us to be your witnesses. We thank you for the power. We thank you for the word. I pray that you'd push our go button and help us a little bit there. And pray again, Father, that we could be your witnesses. Push us into a position where we know from your leading that we're supposed to open our mouth and say something about our Lord and Savior, then give us that gumption to do so. And we'll praise you and thank you. Father, even if this week we could see a soul come to you for salvation, we do love you. And we worship you this morning. But Father, we acknowledge here a need in a dark and a gloomy day in a society that's all twisted backwards. Father, we need to again see your hand move in lives. And so we pray for that. And ask again that you could fill us with the joy of seeing your hand move in a life. We'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. Let's stand. We've had a lot of talk about prayer this week and this day. Let's sing that prayer chorus. God answers prayer in the morning as we dismiss. God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the house.